And I come to these scriptures, and I'm so overwhelmed with God's goodness. God gives us enough. Last night, we're sitting there, and I started rewatching. It was on TV. I know we have it, but sometimes when something's on TV, you watch it even though you have it. Started rewatching The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe again. And, it's such a powerful story that C.S. Lewis wrote. And that movie that was done maybe 10, 12 years ago now depicted this so well. I mean, it's just super duper epic, you know. And that part with the White Witch, you know, Satan, and Aslan, the Lord, are talking, and she's reminding him of the agreement that was made for any one of the sons of Adam or sons of Eve who did not believe, and you know, or who sinned basically, and he snapped at her and he said, "Don't remind me what was written. I was there when it was written." And God gives us enough through Scripture, and God gives us enough so that we can see Him fully. I think back into the Old Testament, you know, people talk, it's easy to talk about the nation of Israel, and we do. And for how long were they in slavery? About 400 years? 400 years does not represent one person's life, right? Many people came, there are many bones buried in Babylon. Even bones buried in the desert once they came out of Egypt, who never saw the promised land. But then right after it talks about the bones being buried, it goes into the next verse. He said, "But we will mount up with wings of eagles. We will run and not be weary." And I go to Ezekiel, and I can't remember the chapter, but I'm going to Ezekiel 30-something. When he's walking through the Valley of the Bones. Remember that? And he's walking through the bones, all of a sudden the bones came to life. I go into the New Testament, and I see the same thing happen. I come into our day, and I see the same thing. And God gives us enough to know that He's real. He's here, and He's still at work. If you look at the outline, if you go back to the outline of last week, there are 3 points, and we got to point one last week. And I know it's crowded, but there's 3 points: ceaseless prayer, continual gratitude, careful discernment. Last week was ceaseless prayer, and it was as passionate as I can be about prayer. But there's a couple of verses we've been kind of keying on in this pleasure principle. One is Hebrews 11:6, right? What does it say? "Without faith, it is impossible to do to please God. For we must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." But I've also been using this Philippians 4:6-7. And I'm going to be honest with you, just totally honest. I have been misquoting this verse for years. I've been misquoting it because let me tell you how I quote this verse. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God." That's the way I quote the verse. That's not the way the verse reads. "Be anxious for nothing, but with everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." But then verse 7 is a key verse. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Let me tell you what I'm working on in my own life. I'm working on in my own life unauthorized thoughts. Because the place in my life where I get unpeaceful is because I have many unauthorized thoughts, things that come into my mind, I allow them to take root, and they displace the peace of God, and I quit trusting God, and I start looking at my own situation. But those kind of situations, you get to the place, you start having unauthorized thoughts. I got this line from a guy who has leukemia. He has leukemia, and he's had one of these deals where they've treated it, and it's come back, and all of this, and it's just a tremendous testimony. And he and his wife said, "We decided some time ago to not have any unauthorized thoughts like this." He said, "It's easy because, you know, I was in Christian ministry, and here I am cut down. And I want to say, it's not fair, God." I said, "That would be an unauthorized thought. It's not right." Unauthorized thought. I'm not going to have any of those. So when we think about this, with all prayer, with thanksgiving. And that's where we're coming to our second point out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the growing Christian. Ceaseless prayer last week. Well, actually, there was two words right before ceaseless prayer. Remember what it said? Rejoice always. And I said, if we got a bulletin for a funeral, we probably ought at some point in time, well, to say, this is a time to rejoice. Rejoice always. But then we come to this, pray without ceasing. And then verse 18, somebody read verse 18 there of 1 Thessalonians 5.
Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
You know, that is tough. That is tough. And I want to tell you, the key to powerful prayer, one of the keys, is having an attitude of thanksgiving and gratitude. And we're going to look at that. So let's look at this. We are to give thanks. The meaning of the word give thanks is eucharisto. Now you get where that word might have some significance. Eucharisto, meaning, what word do you hear? Eucharist. Meaning, you know, the Holy Communion, you know, the grace there, the giving of grace. So we give this grace to the Lord. We give grace to the Lord. And there are many scriptures that I mentioned. I know they're in there. And, you know, Jim, you have nowhere to write because there's so many words on the page, you know. But I want to just mention some of the scriptures here when it talks about we are to give thanks. In Matthew 15, he took the loaves and he broke them. He gave thanks and then he gave them to his disciples and the disciples gave it to the multitude. Giving thanks just reminds me of the Lord's Prayer, right? Give us this day our daily bread. I want to tell you something I'm doing, and if you think I'm a little off, well, first of all, you know I'm a little off, so this won't surprise you a lot. But if you start really thanking God, it changes the way you go and maneuver through your day. I want to give you a practical exercise. Have you ever gone to the grocery store and every time you put something in the buggy, you thank God for that provision? And it might be a thing of milk and you thank God and as you're putting it into the buggy, you thank Him for so many things. Lord, thank you for this provision. Thank you for the farmers, the dairy farmers who do this. Thank you that I didn't have to do it or whatever it might be. You know, I thank God for this. And when you go get bread, Lord, I thank you for this provision. It is not me, you know. This provision is from you. You know we live in such a short time of food, you know, of the food pipeline. If something disrupted it, we'd have about a week's worth of food for all of us to eat. Unless we have good gardens, and my garden's not that good. Daddy, come on. We don't have that. We really can't feed ourselves in our backyard gardens. And we don't even think about it. Thank God for His provision. You know, seriously, when we see the rain come, thank God for that. Do we thank God? And each time I bow for a meal, you know, it is a rare, rare occasion when there's not a verbal blessing said. And we thank God for the food. And I always, and sometimes I beg, because it depends on who I say, Lord, take this food and bless it to nourish my body, because it's real nourishing. But I thank God for this. Do you walk through your house and thank God for things? I mean, those are practical steps. Do you have an attitude of thanksgiving? Do we pray with thanksgiving? Thank the Lord that He hears our prayers. Thank the Lord that He answers our prayers. Thank the Lord for so many things. Mark chapter 14, verse 23. Then He took the cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it unto them, and they drank from it. Now think of what He's doing here. He's taking a cup and He says, this represents the blood that I'm about to go shed. Now we've talked about how God does not allow us to know many things because knowing some things would really freak us out. We are not equipped to handle that. Isn't it great that when you're born, there's not a death date that comes with you? We're not equipped to handle that. That's too big for us. And many other things God withholds from our knowledge, thankfully. But Jesus knew what He was about to do. He knew, I'm about to go die. This is it, guys. This is the, and I don't mean to play on words here, but I am. This is the Last Supper. It's the last time. So He got the goblet, you know, and He, instead of saying, I really don't want to do it, He gave thanks. In Luke chapter 17, there are 10 lepers who were healed, right? One of them came back to give thanks. And the question was, where are the others? And this one came back and he saw that he was healed. He returned with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet and he gave thanks. Sometimes I don't even return to give thanks because I'm so have moved on down the line. In Acts chapter 27, verse 35, and when he had said these things, here the apostles doing this, now Jesus is gone physically, and in the presence of God, he gave thanks and he broke the bread and they began to eat. Romans 1:8, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you that your faith is spoken throughout the whole world. 1 Corinthians 1:4, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which he has given to you by Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:16, I do not cease to give thanks for you in my prayers. Philippians 1:3, I thank my God for every remembrance of you. Colossians 1:3, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you always. 1 Thessalonians 1:2, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. Paul had an attitude of thanksgiving and prayer. Thanksgiving and prayer. They all went together. When he got up and he started praying for the people of Thessalonica. He gave thanks for them and he remembered them. I give thanks for their faith. You remember this whole book is about these people in Thessalonica had come to Christ, this little group, this little wad of people, but they had no one to lead them. And Paul was so distressed, he said, I can't get to them, and I fear that they had no one to lead them, and I'm sure that they've lost their faith. That's what he feared. And he heard that their faith, instead of being lost, had been growing. And he wrote this letter, and he says, I'm so excited. To hear that you're growing in your faith in the Lord. And he gave thanks for that. Man, we need to stop and give thanks. I give thanks. I think about, you know, people dying, right? I think about Francis Asbury. A few days before he died, he could, you know, he'd been preaching. He had this continual strep throat issue for years. All these ailments. He got on horseback and rode through the mountains year after year after year and slugged through his life serving the Lord. And his final message, couple of days before he died, he was so weak, they put him on a table. He laid on a table in front of the group to preach. But you know, there's one guy, he could have easily, man, if it had been me, I'd have been, you know, somewhere and said, oh, you know, I can't do it anymore, Lord. But he said, as long as I have energy, I give thanks to the Lord that he will allow me to speak one more time for him. And I thank the Lord for witnesses like Francis Asbury to people like me even years later. No, I wanted to mention this. And I just thought it was fascinating. 194 years ago yesterday, none of you around, 194 years ago, Hannibal Goodwin was born. He was born in New York, and he was, anybody ever heard that name? And he was born in New York, and he actually ended up becoming a rector in a mission, in an Episcopal setting, not necessarily, it was a church, but it was a mission to, in Newark, New Jersey. And Newark, New Jersey, and 194 years ago is nothing like it is today. But he was fascinated with making Scripture come alive, especially to children. And he kept tinkering with all sorts of ways to make Scripture come alive. And through his life as a rector, as a minister, he had 24 inventions given to his name, including 15 patents. And one of the most famous patents that you have used all your life is he invented the process of creating celluloid film. Now you can blame him, give him credit. But he did that so that he could create ways to make visual depictions of Scripture come alive to children. You know, when somebody gives their self to that, you know, they do great things. You know what? I'll give thanks. Thank you, Lord, for somebody who had that kind of mission in mind. And even today, we get to use the benefits of that. But there's an attitude of giving thanks. In James chapter 1, verse 17, in this whole trial thing, he's talking about trials. He says this, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Sometimes we look at gifts as physical only. Sometimes we look at gifts as, you know, do we get this? Do we get that? Sometimes the perfect gifts is the grace that we have to go through that valley. Sometimes the perfect gift is even the mercy we have. His mercies are new every morning. His healings are new every morning. Do you know in your body, In your body right now, there are so many things going on, and there's such an intricate balance in your body. You know this, how fragile life is, yet God has His hand on you each day. Each day He gives you this power. Each day He gives you this blessing of life. First, God has blessed us with spiritual blessings in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. And we see these spiritual blessings that have come. And I thank God for a spiritual heritage. I thank the Lord for a spiritual heritage in my life. I thank the Lord that this day we are gathered in this place and we're able to take the Word of God, the Word of God that Martin Luther read, that John Wesley read, that Hannibal Goodwin read, the Word of God, and we get to proclaim and look deep into the Word of God and the spiritual blessings we have. God hears us. God knows us. God loves us. God is for us and not against us. In Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30, I think of one of the blessings. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, those He also called. Whom He called, He justified. Whom He justified, He also glorified. I thank God that He has not left me outside the kingdom, but He's had me come in the kingdom. And you know, as I was looking at that Lion, the Witch, in the Wardrobe, and those kids, you know, at the end they go and they get their crown. And you know, we get to go to heaven, the kingdom of God, and we get to wear a crown. And we get to be with the Lord Jesus. And we get to be joint heirs with all the Father has. That is a spiritual blessing that Satan cannot take away. He cannot touch this. As a matter of fact, he already knows he's defeated. He just wants some more people to be defeated with him. And I'm not going to be one of those. Second, consider physical blessings. We've talked about that a little bit. Third, though, what about sociological blessings? What about the grace we have? You know, the common grace, so to speak. Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5. Enter His gates. How do you enter His gates? With thanksgiving. Enter His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures for all generations. I would say it like this. Maybe we need to get our eyes not so focused on the here and now, but focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we start entering His gates every morning with thanksgiving. Lord, I praise You. I bless You. What You do with me, I know not. Where I'm going, I don't know. My body is given to You. This is Your body. It's out of my control. But what I give to You is my spirit and my whole soul. And I want to be with You now and forever. Praise the Lord. We get to enter His gates with thanksgiving and enter His courts with praise. By the way, that's an interesting way David puts that, right? Enter His gates. Because those people knew there were many gates they couldn't enter. Just Gabe and Sharon were at Augusta National Golf Club this week. You know, do you ride in the back? You know, you can't see anything. If you ride down Magnolia Lane, did they have the barrier where you couldn't see down? Yeah, I mean, you could go stand and at least take a picture. You can't even do that anymore. The gates are closed. And at the end of this month, they close until October for good. You know, they close for the summer season each year. And when they're going hard and strong, you get to the gate and there's a man there. Generally a man, it could be a woman, I guess. And they look down the list and they say, "Is your name on the list?" "Well, no, I just thought I'd come look around." No, none of that. Your name's not on the list. My name may never be on the list to drive down Magnolia Lane, but my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I can enter His gates with thanksgiving. Thankful, first of all, that I can enter His gates. And I can come into His courts with praise. And I praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. By the way, I'm really doing a thing lately too. I'm doing all these things lately. They keep spilling out. But I'm really going back to singing a lot. Singing in my prayers, singing to the Lord, lifting the name of the Lord through song. Not just when we're corporately singing here, but just singing, going down the road and so forth. Jesus, name above all names, blessed redeeming, all this. Singing to the Lord. And, you know, it reminds me of Jack Hayford. Jack Hayford was in his study one day, and he was there, and he was just really in a tight time with the Lord. And the Lord spoke to him. He said, "Lord, you know, I'd do anything for you." And the Lord said, "Would you dance for me?" And he said, "Well," he said, "you know, I'm here by myself, and the secretary's out there. Would you dance for me?" And he said, "So I went to the middle of my study floor, and I started to dance for the Lord." And, you know, I think about that. Sometimes the Lord is pulling us out. Would you sing for me? Would you dance for me? God is not a God who is wanting to browbeat us. God is a God who wants to enjoy our fellowship. Would you come and sit with me? Would you come and just tell me what's on your mind? Would you come and listen to me? Give thanks. So there's the action of giving thanks. He says, we are to rejoice always and pray without ceasing and give thanks. This attitude of gratitude. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, Paul says it like this, "But fornication and uncleanliness or covetousness, let those things not be named among you as is not fitting with the saints," right? "Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather give thanks." Not coarse jesting, not complaining, not, you know, sexual sins, not, you know, dirty jokes, not all that stuff. Instead, give thanks to the Lord. But there are some barriers, and I didn't mention the barriers here, and there's no place for you to write it, but, you know, I'm going to give you the barriers anyway. Barrier number one is an unredeemed soul. It's hard to be thankful when you're not redeemed. It's hard to be thankful when you know, we've seen in Romans 1:21 and 2 Timothy 2:3 that unbelievers are also unthankful. Unbelievers have an attitude of ingratitude. And I don't mean just spiritually, obviously they do that, but even on the horizontal level as well. Just ingratitude. Number two, the second thing that keeps us from really experiencing this gratitude, this thanksgiving, are doubts. Romans 8:28. You love the verse and you hate the verse, right? You know, you love it because of what it means. You hate it because sometimes all those things that are working together good are not that pleasant. Like, I had my throat scoped the other day. Yeah, everything's fine. But the doctor, when he started the procedure, he said, "This won't hurt, but it won't be pleasant." And he was right. But they had given me something that numbed everything here. I could not feel my front teeth for about 4 hours. But as they did this procedure, he said, "This will not hurt, but it will not be pleasant." Now, sometimes we go through things that are, they're not unpleasant. They hurt. But look what the verse says. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." We hear the words. It's not necessarily good as we define good, but there's a tapestry that God is painting. And He's working everything for good for that tapestry. Even though we may say, I'm going to tell you what, there are none of these guys. Now, I cannot imagine any of these disciples, any of these apostles, who thought to themselves as they were young teenagers, "Can't wait to get martyred. Can't wait to get sawn into. Can't wait to be chained to that thing one more time and have them whip me with that thing cutting my back one more time." Doubt any of them said that. But Paul, who was whipped again and again, finally killed in the end, you know, he was much better off in this life as a Pharisee named Saul than he was Paul the Christian. His life started to take a downhill turn quickly when he became a Christian as far as this life is concerned. But as Paul's there, and I wonder if it was when he was bent over one of those beating posts one more time, he said, "You know, this is even working together for good. They're throwing me in jail one more time. They're whipping me once more. But even this is working together for good." I wonder if that's when he came up with that thought. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The problem is we don't look at the right place. We doubt God. We do not believe. Barrier 3, ignorance. Some people are not thankful to God because they are just ignorant of His blessings. They don't look for His blessings. I love Jimmy Stewart. But there was a movie, Shenandoah, it came out years ago, a good movie. But at the movie, his character, he Martha, his wife, had died, and he's saying the blessing before the family meal. And he said, Lord, he said, we're thanking you for this food because Martha wanted us to thank you. He said, I don't know why we're thanking you, because the corn, well, we plowed the field, we picked it, the cows, we raised them, but we're thanking you anyway because Martha wanted us to thank you. Martha understood something that his character did not. We work, but it is God who supplies. God who supplies. Another barrier is pride. The rich fool in Luke 12, he wanted to build bigger barns to store more grain. He had more stuff than he can imagine. And the Bible said, you fool, because you have decided you're going to do this and you're going to do that, but you don't even know tonight you will die. And you will have no ability to do any of these things. It's interesting when you start looking at stories, you start comparing and contrasting tragedies. I remember Lynn Bias, who was Maryland basketball player in the 80s, drafted first by the Boston Celtics. And the night of the draft, or the next night, I can't remember, just right in the draft, he died from a drug overdose. I think of this young man, Sean Coleman from Memphis, who played at Auburn, who in 2010, when he was signed, not long after that, found out he had leukemia. Went through 2 years of chemotherapy before he could ever get back. Played football, now has been drafted. You start seeing these stories and you compare and you contrast. And all stories have endings. The question is, will we have so much pride that we don't give God the gratitude and thanksgiving for our story? In Acts chapter 12, 23, it says that King Herod, now this is gross, but this is what the Bible says, so I feel good saying it. The Lord struck him, and he was eaten by worms and died. You know why? The Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. Now I want to tell you, we're talking about the pleasure principle, pleasing God. We work to please God. We ought to work to please God. But God is pleased when we believe and when we give thanks. When we give Him thanks in the grocery store, at home, riding down the road, wherever we go, God is pleased with that. God, it is from you. Every breath I have is from you. Everything I have is from you. These kids I have are from you. They're a blessing from you. Thank you, Lord. Another barrier is anger and disappointment. We want God owes me this, God owes me that. We had higher expectations. God owes me. And that can be a barrier. Another barrier is self-centeredness. This is similar to pride. It's the obvious mark of immaturity. Self-centeredness says, I deserve to be the pretty sister. Self-centeredness is real. It's all about me. God, what would you do without me? Another barrier is the pursuit of pleasure. This world is rabid in its pursuit of pleasure. And many Christians are caught up in the flow. We have so much, but we want more. Enough is never enough. And I'm not going to get political, but I'll tell you this. If ISIS started controlling the United States, much of the stuff we would enjoy would be done away with. And it's hard to hit Americans where Americans live these days, because where Americans live is in our pursuit of leisure and pleasure. We're good. We're good with big stuff. We give a wave to that, but don't mess with our football. What if they threaten to take that away? Well, all of a sudden the pitchforks would really come out, you're not going to start plowing up our golf courses. And by the way, I participate in both of those, therefore I'm using those as examples. Our pursuit of pleasure sometimes overarches so heavily that we forget to say, God, all thanks belong to you. I love to hear sports people give thanks to the Lord. I especially love to hear, you know, we didn't win this one. But my thing here is I still give glory to God because I give glory to God in all circumstances. What about this? Another barrier is a critical spirit. And we start to criticize everything. I'm working on that. Man, I'm working on that. I mean, I can be negative so quick. I'm working on that. So finally, the third point, we are to give thanks in everything, and we're to give thanks because it is God's will. For this reason, we also give thanks without ceasing, he says in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. He says that earlier. So we give thanks in everything. I look at this situation with Kathy and Joey. How can I give thanks? Now, yeah, I can stand here and be philosophical because if I've met Tyler, I've met him one or two times, and he was very little when I met him. But I know Kathy. I know Joby. And I can remember Kathy as a 15, 16-year-old girl. And, you know, she had such a heart for ministry. She's learning to play the guitar. Couldn't play it well, but she said, I'll bring it. I'll try. Leading us in choruses. I'll do it. That beautiful smile she has. In my prayer, I want to pray and say, God, they don't deserve that. But I can also back up and say, Lord, in this, we will give you thanks. Give you thanks, first of all, that this is not our destiny. We give you thanks that you can heal. We give you thanks that through it all, you will not allow us to fall into the temptation. We're going to pray, Lord, you keep us strong here. When we start adding up the things to give thanks for, it makes us love this place less and love that place more. Mm-hmm. I give thanks for doctors, but I can tell you I really give thanks for the Lord Jesus who heals. Mm-hmm. Do you give thanks? Let's pray. Lord, as we seek to do your will by giving thanks, we are thankful for that all that you've given us. We're thankful that you've allowed us to come into this place and to share your goodness and to taste and know that you are good and to taste and know that you are God. And Lord, as we do that, we get emboldened and we get strengthened in body, mind, and spirit so that we can be spirit-filled Christians living in this world. This world gives you no thanks. We give you all thanks. And we know that all things work together for your good. For the good that you're doing. And Lord, we just want to be a part of that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.